Hello, and welcome to EQ Above IQ, Parenting with Emotional Intelligence and Healing the Inner Child. My name is Trina Casey, and I'm your host. Thank you for joining me this week. I hope you have had a wonderful last week, and the weeks coming ahead are just as blessed. Today, I'm going to be talking about something that we are all probably thinking about right now. We had a lot going on this last month, this last week, this past year, but today I'm going to talk about something that has impacted my life personally and the life of my child. And you know what? Truthfully, even if you're not a person of color, it's impacted your life. This week, we saw the very different world that people of color live in versus people who are Caucasian or call themselves that. I am always a bit, I talked about this last couple weeks ago, as well about correction and how important correction is for history, for our growth, and as an example for our child to take accountability. I had to explain to my child that the situation with Kyle Rittenhouse was not fair. And it's confusing to a child of any racial background when they learn something in school about how the judicial system works, and then they see blatant contradictions of it. Quite frankly, I'm astonished and shocked that this judge was not removed. And I'm also very surprised. Not so much so, unfortunately. This has been America for quite a long time. But I am appalled, not surprised, that with all of the things that has recently happened with George Floyd and a lot of the other things that I felt were positive signposts of change towards equality and fair treatment, I am disgusted that this particular judge, who is probably way past his prime for the current times or the times that are becoming, to be sitting on a bench. I am confused that we haven't had much of a conversation, or the president hasn't had much of a conversation around this. But understanding right now, America's in the spotlight for not positive things, which is a very uncomfortable thing for America. You see, most of the sins are being revealed, and the reality of their actions and lack of accountability around their actions have finally come to fruition. So how are we going to explain this to our children? When we are growing up, we are told right from wrong, good and bad, you know, the typical things. Love thy neighbor, be kind, be fair, always share, you know, these things that are sometimes very difficult for the human psyche to do. Some comes naturally, some with effort, and one thing is for sure, it's not consistent. And this is absolutely what's been happening in the world, and this is what has been happening in America. But how are we going to teach our children right from wrong when all we've been doing is wrong? Well, I have been saying this, and I'll say it again. We are all children walking around in adult suits, pretending we have it all figured out, while we spread our trauma to everyone we meet, especially children. Our children are watching how these times are unfolding, and they will make the decisions about how to live their lives and how to see the world through this. I watched a very interesting video. Actually, I've watched it many times before in the past, several times before. There was a two scientists, African American, who did a study on the impact of race and the treatment of children of different races in America and how they see themselves, how they feel about themselves. I'm sure you all have seen this study as well, where there's a black baby doll and a white baby doll, and they both look the same. And the tester asked the children several different questions about which one they thought was the pretty one, which one they thought was a good one. And time after time after time, if it was a positive aspect, such as appearance or intelligence, the white doll was chosen. If it was about behavior that was negative or not intelligent, the black baby was pointed out. And it still is happening. I know, as an expat who's chosen to flee America due to this type of oppression, that it's very difficult to know what's the best decision to raise your child in. Do you raise them close to friends and family that will support them through the struggle of self-esteem building and also through bullying, through all the things that have to do with color or race? But you have a support system, or do you leave and have your child have a healthier self-esteem about who they are and loving themselves, but this not having the connections that you may have grown up with as a child? I will tell you this, those connections weren't always positive, and even though they made you feel safe, trauma of all forms can make you feel safe. You get used to the abuse. And when the abuse is not there, it's shocking to your brain. You see, we are all conditioned to think and to feel a certain way about ourselves from childhood on up. So we also develop our coping mechanisms and how we see the world. And the things that can reinforce those beliefs about ourselves are governments, social structures, family connections, friend connections. Anyways, the social actually reinforces what we think and how we feel about ourselves. So if you're in a toxic relationship and you've had all this negative messaging about who you are and why you are, and that you're not intelligent and that you're not attractive, you will be attracting toxic people who will exploit and manipulate the damage you have experienced. Unfortunately, this has been the colonial playbook. And I've talked about it on my TikTok. If you are not following me on TikTok, you definitely get more of a raw version of myself on that at This Real Life Books. And also on my Instagram and Facebook. And of course, the website gets updated bi-weekly as well with the podcast. Yeah, this is a hard one to talk about, because when you're raising a child of color, you know how important their self-esteem is going to impact the rest of their life. And though I, like many other parents of color, tell our children that they're beautiful, that they're smart, that they're strong, that all of those things that we know will lead to a path of self-love and then therefore success, we also have to take up a fight against society as well. It's not just in the family unit. It's external with friends, classmates, and at a certain age, as my son is now, around 10 and up to 12, right around this time, your peer group becomes the most important part of your learning, of your how you identify yourself. So if you are ingesting violent, negative content, you're going to most likely have that operating in the back of your mind, but not necessarily act on it. There's lots of people who have been around violence and never been violent themselves because they probably have a freeze or flight mechanism rather than fight. It just depends on how strong the abuse or trauma was. So, explaining to my son that one person, James Jones, I think was his name, got his sentence commuted from death for a crime he didn't commit. He's been in jail for 20 years now, and he almost died for a crime he didn't commit, and still they didn't free him. And then Kyle Rittenhouse, who took a military-grade gun, drove across state lines by his mother as well to join in the vigilante hoopla that was happening to supposedly protect businesses in Kenosha, does not have any consequences or accountability. What a horrible, horrible example of accountability. And how do you explain without creating a sense of fear in your child of color? Well, it's very difficult. Yeah, this one hit me a little bit emotionally, so I'm really taking in my thoughts and I'm thinking about analyzing it. My son is also biracial, so it's another complicated thing because I don't want him to hate any part of who he is, the white part or the multicultural black part. So I could be, all white people are evil and dangerous. Well, his dad's not dangerous to him. Anyways, it's just very complicated. And so, what I've had to do and what I continue to do for my child and for any child that I'm actually teaching at the time is I tell them the truth of the history. I tell them the root of the history. And the root of all this was and is people who came from Europe, who were brutalized and traumatized by their ruling class and taken advantage of, raped, molested, and had no sense of power, were sent out to do the same thing that was done to them for riches and spoils and power. And I explained to my child Stockholm Syndrome. We all know what Stockholm Syndrome is, but if you do not, I'm going to explain it because it is something that can easily happen with your children and the children who are in abusive households, which I see happening forever throughout history. And it's kind of just perpetuated over and over and over again because that's what we do. We pretend we have it figured out, but we're just spreading trauma. So Stockholm Syndrome is basically Falling in love with admiring or adoring the person who harms or hurts you. Lots of times it's used to describe kidnapping or captive situations. And seeing that the majority of people of color in America, their ancestors were captive and kidnapped and brought to the country to build it, we can suffer from Stockholm Syndrome, meaning falling in love with the ideals, not necessarily by choice, but by oppression and coercion and manipulation. So I have explained that's what Stockholm Syndrome is. And my son is like, well, why are they doing that? And I would say, because they are hoarders. Another fear-based, self-loathing mental illness that causes people to fear throwing away, giving away, or that somebody is going to take away their possessions. Even though they might have 1,500 magazines that are as old as can be 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, they always find some excuse to hold on to it. Now, instead of magazines, we have land, property, and money because those possessions represent a sense of power. A sense of power that is an allusion to the majority of the serfs, the majority of the people. And there's a very, very small percentage of people who are from those founding father families and from those banking families that actually wield any power. But they have had the time and the inclination to manipulate other white people or Caucasian people into believing that they too, with a lot of work, can do the same. Now, we've seen that there was a big boom in entrepreneurship, but to get to that level of a Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, you must look a certain way. Okay. And though we had a black president, he never had the financial power that these men have. He did not go into office being a very wealthy man. Also, I had to explain that though we have rules and guidelines written, they were never written to apply to all people. So that's where we are. And as with any child, he knows that's grossly unfair. And that can make him feel a sense of fear. So I urge all the people listening to this podcast to have a conversation, just like you probably did about George Floyd. I want especially parents of Caucasian children to tell their children what happened was not fair. Was not how it should have worked. Because you don't need to teach your children that they can get away with murder. Because it might happen one or two times for some people, but it won't happen for them all the time. And they may get themselves in a position that they can't get themselves out of. Like I said, this was a difficult podcast to record. I nearly forgot to do it because I was avoiding it because I knew that I could not talk about anything else other than what was happening right now. And that's how I record my podcasts. I do them biweekly so that I can be current about what's going on and talk about it and address it towards emotional intelligence and our children. So this very, very important EQ moment is that when you do not have self-awareness, like Kyle Rittenhouse should have never even been there. His mother should have never driven him there. And two young men would be alive now, and one wouldn't be suffering from PTSD from the trauma he experienced from being shot. Had that parent, who I hold 100% accountable for her son's actions, should have never driven her child to where he ended up, and probably shouldn't have taught him the ideology that got him in that position. And that's probably because she lacks a lot of emotional intelligence. She didn't protect her child. And then we all got to see a mockery of the judicial system, but we also got to reveal the differences. So there is a lesson in that as well, because even with the good and the bad, there's always a lesson. So my sincerest hopes and dreams and desire to manifest asks that we start taking emotional intelligence more seriously. We start regulating our reactions to our trauma so that we can stop perpetuating it and spreading it. We also have a common goal together that is not divided, and that is our survival at this point. And I hope that we can, and I manifest that we can have empathy and compassion. Because I know, though, as a woman of color, a mother of color, I'm angry at this situation and how it could be. But I know a lot of it comes from manipulation of the serfs and that pocket of very misguided, fear-based people have a hard time loving themselves, so they love the rhetoric that they are being manipulated to believe in order to feel better about who they are, when in fact, they're just abused children. And if they had that compassion, they would have the ability to live with everyone as everyone did in periods of time through history, because this wasn't always the way it was. There were times before the 1600s that we didn't have a designation between white and black. Teach your children proper history. Check out the 1619 Project, Parents of White and Caucasian Children and Latino children, and any children that has a problem with black people or other people of color. Keep your mind open to grow. And if you are one, a person of faith, do it for that reason. Because love thy neighbor included all of your neighbors. And it wasn't just the one next door, it was the one that's next to that person, next to that person, next to that person, and it reverberates out into the world. And we need to start cultivating love and compassion for each other and practicing emotional intelligence, or we're going to have horrible things continue to happen under the guise of supremacy. But that power is not wielded by us, it's wielded by one person, or whatever you want to call them. But we do have more power than we allow ourselves to vibrate at. So let's do better so that I can stop having these conversations with my child, and you can too. And if you do have to have this conversation, make sure you do it in a way that will spur hope, and that they have a desire to help change the world, and their purpose will not continue this illness, this mental illness called racism. I Hope you have a very blessed day. Hold your children, love your children, care for your children and the inner child. Hold him or her too, like I'm holding mine and saying that you have survived worse. You have the wisdom to know better, and you're doing better every single day. And I'm doing my part by doing this podcast and writing the books that I do. So please support that at thisreallifebooks.com. Support emotional intelligence. If you are struggling on how to explain any of this to your kid and you need more details than I gave in this podcast, this was just a little snippet. Please reach out at thisreallifebooks.com and click the coaching tab. We can have a quick get to know, or we can dive in with some parenting guidelines and tips to help explain. And yeah, let's go in and have some reflection. And I hope you have a blessed day.